Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vanta. Are you building a business? Achieving compliance with frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2 can help you win bigger deals, enter new markets, and deepen trust with customers. But this can also cost you real time and money. Vanta automates up to 90% of the work for the most in-demand frameworks, helping businesses get compliant quickly. And with over 300 integrations, you can easily monitor and secure the tools your businesses rely on. Join over 7,000 fast-growing companies that use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. To learn more about how Vanta works and to get 20% off, visit vanta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups. Now, kick back and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Johannes Zibers. Johannes is the co-founder and CEO of Holidoo, one of the fastest growing travel tech companies worldwide with a team of more than 500 people and local offices in the most attractive travel destinations in Europe. Everyone, give it up for Johannes. Johannes, so awesome to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
All right, Johannes, so let's go back to the that surfing trip to Portugal. Can you take us back to that moment when you and your brother, among waves and sunsets, looked at each other and said, we can make holiday bookings better? And, you know, can you share the backstory that makes us feel like we're there, sand between our toes, and feeling the need for a better booking experience?
So to do this, we have to go back to 2012,
right?
Christmas time. And we together with some friends were looking to plan a surf trip in Portugal to go to a nice place, which is called Baleal, next to Peniche, about 100 kilometers north of Lisbon. And we wanted to go there because it's famous for its very good waves. And it's also a very picturesque place. And I took over the work to organize the trip for the group. I tried to find a rental, and I remember it was very, first of all, it was difficult to find good rentals because some properties were on Airbnb, some on booking.com, some on other websites, some on local websites. It was complicated. I found a nice one. I shared it with the group whether everyone would want to book that. Everyone agreed. So I booked it. I got a response that unfortunately the availability of that property was not up to date and they can't accept the booking. I did that same thing again, the second time it happened again. So I was a bit frustrated. And then I found a local website of a Portuguese manager with very nice properties. And I called them and it was a nice conversation. And I said, yes, it's free. You can book the house. They sent me an email with a link where I should pay. And I paid and we got an email confirmation. And then we landed in Lisbon a few months later. And I remember everyone was having a good mood and we rented a car and we were going to drive up. And I was getting really nervous in that on that drive, whether, A, this agent I spoke to really existed, whether the house would be there, whether it would be as good as on the pictures. And I felt the responsibility for this whole group in the car that the holiday would go well. And I thought, oh gosh, what do we do if it's not good? And we arrived and it was so amazing. It was an amazing host manager. It was an amazing house. And we had a wonderful time and a wonderful trip. But we started thinking, why is it so difficult to book a house when it has become very easy to book hotels, flights, trains, car rentals, everything, taxis? And why not a house? And that's how it started. And I think in the end, we learned a lot that it has to do that the renting out is not so easy. And that we have to support the host as well. But that was the founding story.
Awesome. Johannes, so the recent rebranding and merging of Bookiply into Holidoo sounds like a strategic chess move. What sparked this change and how do you envision this shaping the future of Holidoo?
Well, maybe for us, it didn't feel like a chess move. It was more like a natural evolution. As a quick recap, Bookiply is a line of business where we support vacation rental homeowners or hosts in manage their properties better, and we give them software and services. And Holidoo is the platform where people can book holiday rentals. Mm-hmm. Properties managed by Book Reply had grown to about 70% of our group's revenues and were the fastest growing part of the revenues.
Yeah.
So it has become the core aspect. And we realized that we were starting to build two brands, actually, to the outside, but also to the inside. And that the investments we did into one brand didn't necessarily benefit the other brand.
Right.
And as we have the goal to build a real leader in the regions in which we operate, building up a brand in the end is indispensable and is crucial. And therefore, it became clear for us that from a business point of view, we had to choose one. And then the only question was, would it be Book Reply or would it be Holidoo? And we decided for Holidoo, as it was the better known brand and also the more unique.
Yeah.
And the personal aspect of it is that next to this business logic, natural evolution logic, it also has a very uniting aspect internally to the teams, which we are, of course, very happy about. We've ever since been working on the same goal and now just having also the same name makes it even easier.
Yeah, makes sense. Cool. So scaling up Holidoo from a trio to, you know, like a full-blown orchestra is a feat. What's the most unexpected challenge you faced, you know, like a moment when the band played an unexpected note or, you know, and you had to conduct the symphony back into harmony to ensure the success of Holidoo's performance?
I love your music analogies. I think for us, that's easy to pick. It was certainly when COVID hit us. So our company was in full growth mode. At the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, and all of a sudden, there was an external event which was bringing the business to zero. Mm. And I think it was a situation of just huge uncertainty, as no one knew how long it would take. When would business or travel pick up again? Mm-hmm. And I think in that moment, we of course did not know how long it would take. So we wanted to act and decide based on a few high-level principles that we set ourselves. So the first principle we set ourselves, okay, this is big, so we have to act very fast. And we also have to save costs very fast because otherwise it's not going to last for very long. But beyond that, we also believe that at one moment in the countries in which we live, it's not going to be possible to not allow people to travel forever. So people will start to travel again and there will be a rebound and people will want to go to houses where you can still be isolated. So we knew there would be a rebound and we wanted to be prepared for it. In order to be prepared for it, we wanted to strengthen our balance sheet. So get a little bit of equity and to have the means to do so.
Yeah.
And then to also use that opportunity or use that crisis as an opportunity. There's a saying from the Formula One that you cannot overtake five drivers in the sun, but you can do so in the rain. And that's a little bit the thinking that we had here as well. Okay, if we would be very fast and if we would be very prepared, maybe we can overtake some other drivers here.
Right.
And then I think the most important part for us was, as we believed in the fact that the market would come back, and was to keep the team aligned and motivated and also together. We had built up a great team and we were convinced that if travel comes back, that we together with the full team can actually harvest that in the best possible way. So we tried to find solution with those principles. And basically what we did is we went to a 2 month of hibernation as a company. So everyone was going on a furlough for 2 months and coming back after 2 months.
Right.
And that helped us to save the needed cost. And it helped us to also be then fully ready to tackle the summer.
Amazing. And I really like the Formula One analogy. Johannes, 9 years of growth sounds like a marathon. What were the unexpected pit stops and, like, you know, what hidden gems or lessons did you find along the way that became your kind of marathon medals?
So yeah, in fact, we're turning 10 this summer and we very much look forward to it. It's going to be a nice celebration with the full team.
Yeah.
And the fun fact is, indeed, it still feels like early days. And I think that sounds like cliche, but it's really the case. When we look at where we are today and when we look where we plan to be in a few years, today will still feel very, very small. And I think that's probably the first learning here. If you operate in a big market, then you can grow for a very, very long time if you have something that really creates value. Mm-hmm. Much longer than you originally think when you set out to start the project. And I think beyond that, there are many learnings on the way, and new ones are added every week and every month. But let me maybe share some which in preparation I've reflected on. And I think the first one is it's all about the people. A great team around you will make all the difference.
Yeah.
In the good moments, but also in the not so good moments. So find the best team and enable it and try to succeed together. Because you can come up with any strategy, any system, any policy, any process, but if it's not for great people, it doesn't really fly.
100%.
And this expands also to your investors, to the board, to the people you reach out for advice. It's always about them. I think the second learning on this journey was one has to always keep learning. If I look at the world 10 years ago, at least from technology point of view, it is changing so much.
Yeah.
So one has to adapt, and the fastest learning organization will win, will be the winner in the end. And that has a few iterations on how we run the company and also for us. So we want to act fast, learn fast, iterate quickly. We want to learn from the best people in the world. If we have a new problem where we really don't know a solution, one thing we always try to think of, okay, who in the world would be the best person to ask for advice? Or maybe the top 10 people ask for advice. That can so much help you to accelerate your learning curve.
Yeah.
And then I think for us, it's also about listening a lot to people, to anyone, to the team, to partners, customers, everyone. I think can learn much more from listening than from speaking.
Right.
And by staying humble to keep iterating. And then, the third learning, I think, is one has to be clear when starting a company and aiming to build a big company that it's going to be a long journey. And if you have this in mind, there's also several implications of that. You have to create real value for customers. There's no shortcut to it. We did some growth hacks in the beginning, and in the end, they're just a distraction on the longer path. You have to create real value. And also, if you think about it, there's a long-term journey. It matters for everything about the relationships you build with people, customers, industry stakeholders. It all pays back over time. Mm-hmm. Also, you have to take time to recharge from time to time. It's a marathon, and you're only at your best if the batteries are full. I think in the first 5 years, we probably took no holidays or 1 week holiday a year, and I don't think that this was in the best interest of anyone.
So I think especially building what you're building, right?
And building what you're building was like a paradox, right? Being exposed to holidays every day but not taking them. And then building long-term goals too. So I think even five-year goals are short sometimes. 5 years are passing by quickly. Of course, you also have to do monthly and then annual, but really thinking long-term is something we learned.
Amazing. So Johannes, speaking of the journey, like you also had to fundraise at some point, and fundraising often feels like, a high stakes poker game. Can you recall a moment at the fundraising table where you thought, all right, so we've got a winning hand, and what fundraising tips can you share with aspiring entrepreneurs?
So I also remember moments when we did not have a winning hand. And this also happens. And one also has to keep going and in the end just raise the money and always try to improve. And then there are other moments where you have a winning hand. And I think it's always when you don't really need it, right? So then you're in a good position.
Mm-hmm.
You have, if it's profitable or close to it, or you have a very long runway. And I think it's important to get the timing right for that reason. And I think the other aspect is to think big, to show where it can be in long term, that this can be a really big company, and then bring people on that journey together with you.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, Johannes. Very simplified and very good. So being a founder is a roller coaster. What's been the loopiest moment for you, and how did you keep your heads up in the air and, just enjoy the ride? I know that you already mentioned COVID, probably that was one of the moment?
Yeah, that was one. But I would even recall another one before. In at the end of 2018, 2019, the business did well, but it wasn't an easy time. Yeah. So what we call Bookiply and what is now rebranded was a big part of our vision, but was very, very small. So for us, it was very tough to fundraise. And we had to speak to many investors and also got many no's. Right. And people were saying, that's a great story, it's a great idea, but it's still too small. So I want to see more traction and so forth. And I remember in the Christmas party 2018, one investor had just dropped a term sheet, like pulled out of a term sheet, basically. And I was really not feeling good. And we had a Christmas party with the whole company, and I was walking in, and I feel it feels bad to not give this company the runway it deserves. We didn't have many months left, actually.
Yeah.
And you feel really bad. And then, I think that the amazing aspect of this story was we had a music cover band of people from Hollywood playing music, and they played, and the really good musicians, and there was this amazing atmosphere in this room, and my brother and I were walking through this, and sometimes there are these things you don't no rationally, you feel them and you say, okay, something good will come out of this. It was like crystal clear from the energy, from everything. And that's also what happened afterwards. So 6 months later, we raised a big growth round and we got it done. But that was definitely one of those Lupia moments.
Man, I love the story. So, you know, company culture is like, speaking actually about like your musicians in a company, I wanted to transition smoothly to the company culture. So company culture is like, you know, the secret ingredient in a dish. It makes all the difference. So how did you go about building a strong company culture at Hollydoo, and what role does culture play in, you know, sustaining the growth and success of the company?
Yeah, it's a good question. And first of all, I 100% agree. It makes all the difference. It defines, culture defines a level of ambition, collaboration, from my point of view, and also the talent that you attract and also the talent that maybe leaves you.
Yeah.
And the bigger you grow, the more you realize that strategy and everything is very important, but the people are five times as important as I shared before. So great people will always come up with solutions to a problem, and you attract them with culture and you keep them with culture. Mm. So the question is how to build it. And I don't think you can build it as such. It exists. It exists is primarily defined by the people who are in the company, and then also, of course, you need to harvest it, and that's critical. And I think it's defined then, of course, by the way your people, your leaders behave, yourself behave, how you act in critical high-stake moments. And I think that's probably one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. But then once you keep growing, you need to institutionalize it a little bit so to keep it up.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for us, that's, okay, how to anchor it in the company values, in the review and feedback processes, in the hiring process, in everything that we do, in the thinking, in the way we take decisions, in the way we institutionalize decision-making for our teams. Mm-hmm. And I think there we've been lucky that from early on, we've had an amazing people team, a talent HR team, who has helped us to manifest these cultural aspects that we thought were there and institutionalize them in processes.
Sounds good. You know, like kind of remaining in the music references, finding the harmony between human warmth and tech efficiency is like composing a hit song. How does Hollydoo strike that, you know, that chord to ensure every user feels like they're on vacation even when browsing the website?
And there are many similarities between music and building a great product, which people love, right? So there's the science aspect of it, and then there's an art aspect of it. And there's some rhythms, melodies, tones, which people just like, and one can learn about those. And it's the same with product, right? One can learn about the things that people like through testing and iteration, and we do that a lot. But then nonetheless, there's also the other aspect of it, which is, of course, an ambition for excellent user interfaces and design, which our teams bring in. So we believe basically in the mix of a very testing and iterative-driven product development, but also trying to gain that deeper insights, which then maybe translate into the art aspect by really trying to understand the customer well. And for us, that's both the homeowner on the one side, the host, but also then, of course, the guest browsing the website on the other side.
Got it. Johannes, so, you know, sustainability, like changing the topic a bit, sustainability in the travel industry is a big issue. How does Holidoo approach sustainability, and, you know, what steps are you taking to positively contribute to the environment and local communities?
So the way we look at this is we think travel will always be there. People always want to travel, and we believe in the peace generating effect of travel by the fact that people can meet each other, explore other cultures and so forth. And that's something very important, of course, these days. But it's also clear that travel generates CO2 emission without a doubt. And so we want to help to support sustainable travel in the best way we can. So one of the things we do is we advise our hosts on how then they, for example, can improve sustainability of their homes.
Yeah.
And then if they do so, we give them increased visibility on our platform through a nature label, through a filter, actually, which is recently used. And we what's amazing, we see that it works. So we see that those houses get more clicks and more bookings. And then we take that data, we bring it to other hosts to give them incentives to actually also invest and into sustainability of their property. So because we see that guests appreciate it. Another thing we do, and we're piloting now, and it's in the very first region, and we're very interested in how this pilot goes. We are just providing a welcome bus with organic homegrown food from the region to actually give people who arrive insights into and organic grown food from the region.
Yeah,
I think it's a great experience, but it's also then, I mean, food is one of the big things that also creates in the end effect. 100%. So impacting that to the positive is like a small thing we can also do. And if it's successful, we will certainly roll it out to more regions.
Love it, Johannes, and 100% agreed. People will travel. Traveling is amazing. We just need to find a way to make it a bit more sustainable. You know, another thing that I want to talk with you about is, you know, founding a company with your brother, which sounds like a true startup bromance. What's the secret sauce to a successful sibling partnership in business? And, you know, how do you navigate the challenges that come with family-founded venture?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So, I mean, first and foremost, I love my brother. And, and next to this personal part, I have to say that he's a true genius at what he does. And we co-founded the company together, and he runs all of the product and technology teams. And what they are building with their size of team is really truly outstanding, I have to say. And any founder and probably senior manager can attest that founding or running a company can be sometimes very intense.
Right.
So I think from my point of view, having a true partner on your side whom you can 1,000% trust is always incredibly valuable.
Yeah, it's invaluable, right?
And for us, it's almost difficult to imagine how it would be without a companion like that running a company. I think one of the things that has been proven to be helpful for us is that we're complementary in our areas of responsibility and sometimes also our viewpoint. That we're 100% aligned on the values and where we want to bring the company and how we want to run it. And I think for maintaining a sibling relationship, it's also important to sometimes do things together that have nothing to do with work. So for us, that could be a day in the mountain snowboarding, or we have a monthly dinner where we aim to speak very little about work. Sometimes it works good, sometimes not, but that's the goal.
Amazing. Sounds very cool. So Johannes, imagine that, you know, we are all packing our bags right now. What's your personal pick for the hottest travel destination? And do you have any insider tips on what makes it a must visit according to Holidoo?
I love many areas, and we see many trending areas, of course, on our platform. Greece stays a very strong trend.
Yeah.
I personally love the Algarve coast in Portugal for surfing, but also Mallorca, Italy, the Bavarian mountains.
Yeah.
And then I also look forward to exploring France more as we're onboarding many great new properties there across the country. So it's a tough pick. Yeah.
Cool. So we don't want to tell us what's your favorite one. But yeah, I assume that let's speak to Portugal, as this is where, for surfing, as this is where it all started. So, you know, travel stories are the best stories. What's the absolute best travel experience that made you, you know, pinch yourself and just for fun? And just for fun, was the one that turned into a, you know, we'll all laugh about it later adventure?
Yeah, it's a good question. I personally love travel when you get this feeling of exploration, of discovering something new, which you had no idea about, and a new world is opening up in front of your eyes and all senses, basically. And probably for me, a remarkable experience was that in high school, I went to Bolivia for a longer exchange. Mm-hmm. And then it was a school exchange, but then also traveling the country there with the local students,
yeah,
which was just amazing because it was just such a different world that opened up in front of me. Mm-hmm. And some years ago, I traveled back to Central America, El Salvador, Nicaragua. And
sounds amazing.
This gave me a similar feeling. That was for exploring waves and surfing, but it gave me a similar feeling and of exploration. And that's what I really love about travel, if there's a little bit of time.
Yeah. Awesome. Johannes, so to end this off, do you have any, what are your next like big goals on your journey? Like, do you have any new products or new initiatives coming on that you would like to share with them? The audience,
we keep thinking how we can create more value to our hosts, mm-hmm. and also guests. That's where we invest a lot. We currently have 1% of the properties in Europe that we have the privilege of helping the host to manage.
Yeah,
in some regions it's already 30%. Mm-hmm. So you can see that there's still a huge room to grow, And that's the journey on which we're on and which we look very much forward to continue.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. Johannes, thanks so much for your time. I really enjoyed this interview. Can't wait to go on holiday with Holidoo and check out your website. All the best to you, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Martin.